X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Welcome into The Gathering Radio Show on this Tune-In Tuesday on the Para X Radio Network. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi. And I think Stephanie forgot where she was tonight.
You know what? I have so many things going in and out of my head right now. So you should just open. You should always just open because you do a better job.
Like, where are you going with this, Steph?
I know, right? Because I was thinking about this thing that I'm reading for the show. And then I had to, whatever. It's a Tune-In Tuesday on the Gathering Radio Show, everyone.
It is Tune-In Tuesday. Tremendous. Tune-In Tuesday.
Tremendous. Sensational Tuesday. Yes, exactly. And oh my gosh. Yes, there's just too much going on, I think, in my life right now. I need to settle down. And
You say that every week.
I know. When is it ever going to quiet down, Heidi?
When you quit. Just chill.
It's hard for me to do that, you know.
I know. Hence your nickname that I gave you a very long time ago.
I know.
Ms. Wigglebottoms.
I know.
Can't stop moving.
I know. You know what I have to do now that it's a little bit warmer here this week? I think I need to go out and stand on Mama Earth in my bare feet for like 5 minutes and see if that
might help.
Ground me a little bit and calm me down. Because I just need it. Yeah. Sure, I can find some mud somewhere to put them on.
I don't know if that's going to help, but go for it. Good luck.
Oh, for sure. So what's shaking?
Well, let's see here. It's been a busy, since last Tuesday, busy. I started, this is not anything to do with paranormal, just like my life currently when I'm not working. Mm-hmm. I'm painting my kitchen cabinets.
Oh.
And I started practicing. I painted my bathroom vanity and our mudroom cabinets because I didn't want to just dive into the kitchen cabinets because, you know, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them. And so I thought I'll practice on some of the smaller cabinets in the house that are just outdated, right? Mm-hmm. And I love how it's turning out and it is crazy hard. There's like 8 steps for each, like I'm doing it in sections because otherwise where are you going to put all the cabinet doors? You can't take them all off at once. Plus I don't want to get them out of order. Right. And so anyway, so I'm doing it in phases and it's a lot of work and each one, because of the technique that I'm doing, is taking like 8 steps per phase. And so I'll be working, usually I work on it for about 8 hours for one phase. Oh, and, wow. But it's turning out pretty cool, so I'll post it when I'm done. I don't want to do it until I'm done. I don't want to jinx anything. But that has been my life outside of work this past week. And I was fooled by practicing on a bathroom vanity and mudroom cabinets because for whatever reason, those are easy. And although I didn't do an 8-step technique on those either. So, of course, I wait till I have the biggest room with cabinets and then I do that. But it's turning out really cool. It's totally updating them. When we walked into the house and we first were looking at it, everything screams 1975 and I'm like, oh my, this is interesting. So anyway, so slowly but surely in the year that we've had the house, we've been updating little bits and pieces and this is going to be a doozy of, you know, updating it. Yeah.
So I want to know, because you've been painting walls and stuff in there too in the wintertime. Yeah. Do you open windows? How is it that it's not stinking like paint, frankly?
Oh, right. So the cabinets, I'm using a no VOC paint.
Okay.
There's no smell whatsoever.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the walls, I was painting a low VOC paint, and I did that in the spring and the fall so I could keep the windows open.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm using a no VOC paint for the cabinets, and all the cabinets I've done in no VOC. So there is absolutely no smell. It's fantastic. And it really is, it's nice. So I can do it in the winter. Otherwise, no way would I do it when I can't open windows.
No. Well, that's what I was thinking, you know, because, ugh, I know, because I need to paint virtually every wall in my house. I don't have to, but I want to. And it's like, I would love to do it in the winter because there's less things to do outside, right? So you're stuck inside, but you can't handle those fumes. So.
Yeah. And I like painting. It's very zen for me.
Yeah.
I love painting. I like mowing the lawn too. Those kind of things where you just have this too. Repetition.
Yeah.
It's repetition and it's calming, and I just, love
it. And it's like gratification that comes really fast, right? When it's same thing with shoveling snow. It's like, oh my God, there was all this snow, and then a half an hour and it looks fabulous, you know?
That's
the same with mowing the lawn or painting the wall or whatever you're doing, you know? Yep. And it's kind of mindless things, you know?
And so, yes, Karen in the chat room, she said low humidity has to help with the painting. Yes. Of course it does. This is awesome right now. Although this week is starting to get a little bit warmer, and so it's starting to take a little bit longer to dry, but not too bad. So yeah, that's been life.
Absolutely.
But it's good. It's good.
So I was out on San Juan Island over the weekend, as you know. Went out there. Casey and I closed on a condominium in Friday Harbor. So
yeah, you did.
It's our little toe-in on the island. So we're excited. It's very small. So don't imagine, you know, illusions of grandeur, because it's just a little studio apartment, so to speak. But it's ours and it's fun. And it was quite amazing that we actually qualified for the loans, right? So we're all good. So we're excited. So we'll be out there again in April, and we'll go out there quite often now because we have it, you know? So yep. And it's beautiful out there. Oh, my gosh. You know, people say we've been going there for 24 years, and our friends would always leave the island, you know, in the wintertime, and they would say, oh, it's terrible here. Really? Because we've been there twice now, at the beginning of January and at the end of February. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. I mean, everything is so green. It's what I imagine Ireland look like, you know, because in the summertime, the island is, you know, they don't get a lot of rain in the summer, so the moss turns brown, the there's a lot of dirt. I mean, there's a lot of, like, you know, it's dusty, you know, because there's not a lot of rain. And so right now, everything is just lush and green, and the moss is thick and springy and amazing, amazing. It is just, and there's waterfalls everywhere, and just a fantastic time to be there. I got to say, I just love it. And there's no tourists, right? So it's all islands.
Right.
So, which also is a cool thing. So yeah, so we're excited about that. Now this coming weekend, I'm actually going on a paranormal investigation with the
city. Oh, are you?
Yes. How about that?
Cool. So you haven't gone on any for a while.
Not for a long time, and they needed an extra hand, and so they called on the alumni, and so I'm going, and I think Katie might come as well, but if she doesn't, I'm going to be there, and it's about 3 hours away, and it's an old hotel, kind of, and they've done it before, and it's quite active, so I'm excited. I'm really excited for this one. So
you have to let us know how it goes. You said that's this weekend?
Yeah, Sunday. So we're going up on Sunday, and we'll be back on Monday. So, oh, so Jerry's putting it out there. Okay, yeah. So it's the Humbird Inn. Yeah, it's in Humbird, Wisconsin. So fun stuff.
Cool.
So, yeah, so that's what's happening this way. Or this weekend, cool. I mean. Yeah. So anyway, so today on the show is our
Paranormal Smorgasbord.
Yay! So
the Paranormal Smorgasbord.
We love it because everybody has something to talk about in the chat room. So please don't disappoint us. We have quite a full chat room today. So everyone,
we have a lot of people in the chat room.
I know. So get your ideas out there. And if you've heard any news or paranormal goings on and happenings and subjects, put them out there. This is where we get a lot of fodder for future shows and subjects. So, yes. So it's always fun. It's always fun. Everybody always really likes this one.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you had something that you found. Do a little reading for us.
I did. Well, so I guess I didn't realize this. I never really thought about it. You know what I mean? Because I've always been kind of UFOs and aliens are just kind of, you know, until I really see one. But the last couple of years have been a little eye-opening for me. Even though I've never seen a UFO or an alien, I've talked to so many people. You know, Jean Walker, I think, was the one who started this down in Paracon several years ago. We had her on our show. She's written books, and she's with MUFON. You know, there's a book called Chariots of the Gods out there. And, you know, they talk about, I remember reading it many years ago, and they talk about many different subjects. They talk about the plains of Nazca. They talk about all of these things, that how could ancient man have done this without being up in the air, right? You just can't make something that looks like a spider, for example, unless you're up in the air and you know how to do it, or even the pyramids, you know? But also in there, they talk about how there's many instances in the Bible that talk about they're veiled, of course, but they talk about UFOs. And one of them is in the book of Ezekiel. And actually earlier this year in January, there was an article on the internet called "Is Ezekiel's Vision of the Wheel Evidence of UFOs in the Bible?" You know, and it talks about, you know, like they're talking about looking at Ezekiel through the lens of modern technologies. When biblical texts are interpreted through this perspective in general, an interesting picture emerges of the possibility that our ancient ancestors were actually visited by an advanced race rather than gods. And this whole part of the book of Ezekiel, so I took out my Bibles, right? And I used to be in Bible study years ago, so I have, you know, King James versions. I have, you know, a more modern one from like when I was in grade school. And then, of course, I have the ones that I used to use, you know, like a decade ago from the New Living Testament, which is the easiest to read. And so I read them all, and they do talk about this. It's just a couple of paragraphs. It's at the beginning of the books. And in the New Modern Version, the Living Version, actually, I'm just going to read a couple of things. And I mean, you can draw your own conclusions. But so this is Ezekiel talking, and he said, quote, "As I looked, I saw a great storm coming toward me from the north, driving before it a huge cloud that flashed with lightning and shone with brilliant light. The fire inside the cloud glowed like gleaming amber. From the center of the cloud came four living beings that looked human, except that each had four faces and two pairs of wings." Okay, that's interesting. "But their legs were straight like human legs, but their feet were split like calves' feet and shone like burnished bronze. Beneath each of their wings, I could see human hands." And then it goes on to talk more about that interesting stuff. You know, he talks about how each had a human face on the front, the face of a lion on the right side, the face of an ox on the left side, and the face of an eagle on the back. And these wings, two pairs of them. And then, you know, they talk about the living beings looked like bright coals of fire or brilliant torches, and it looked as though lightning was flashing back and forth among them. And I looked at these beings, and I saw four wheels on the ground beneath them, one wheel belonging to each. The wheels sparkled as if made of chrysolite. All four wheels looked the same. Each wheel had a second wheel turning crosswise within it. The beings could move forward in any of the four directions they faced without turning as they moved. Then it goes on to talk about that. And then it talks about when they flew upward, the wheels went up too, and they were gone. And you know, it just, it goes on and on. But then it talks about how there's a surface above their heads that looked like a throne made of blue sapphire. And high above this throne was a figure whose appearance was like that of man. From the waist up, he looked like gleaming amber, flickering like fire. And from the waist down, he looked like a burning flame, shining with splendor. And all around him was a glowing halo like a rainbow shining through the clouds. Hmm. Okay, what do you think of all that?
Wow. Well, in the beginning, I think it's interesting because it talks about a big gray cloud coming in.
Yeah.
And could that be a flying saucer, you know, right. a UFO? Yeah. I mean, if you see something in the air that has some kind of mass and you've never seen it before, would you think it's maybe a big cloud because you don't know what else it could be?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and it flashed with lightning and shone a brilliant light, you know, so there was light inside. I mean, it's actually quite intriguing. And of course, there are many other versions of the Bible as well. This is just this one. And, you know, I read it in the other versions, but they're a little bit hard, tougher to read. So I just thought it was quite fascinating. And there's so they talk about that a little bit in Chariots of the Gods. But there's also this spaceships, a novel called, or a book called Spaceships of Ezekiel, that talk more about this Ezekiel's, you know, he asserts that Ezekiel's account in the Bible was not a description of a meeting with God in a prophetic vision, but of one of several encounters with ancient astronauts in a shuttlecraft from another planet. I don't know. It's pretty wild.
Cool.
I know.
You know, it's interesting. Sorry, I was going to start talking and I...
Yeah.
There we go. So there was a, I don't know if it's on Netflix or Amazon Prime. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Something on one of the channels. Tim was watching and he came in and he was like, you've got to see this. And I didn't have time to watch it at that point, but I want to take a look. They found, because you're talking about these aliens from, you know, a long time ago and, mm-hmm. you know, helping, you know, did they, you know, lend some kind of technology or, you know, detailed plans to build certain things, you know, back for early, you know, or thousands and thousands of years ago. And there was evidence, now evidence that is no longer around. It's been taken, stolen, hidden, whatever, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
Of aliens being buried in the pyramids or in some of the Egyptian tombs. Yeah, they found and have x-rayed these beings that were mummified in these tombs, and they were alien in form. I mean, what we would think of as alien, you know, they're not human, at least as we can, you know, as far as we could tell. They didn't have the same kind of bone structure, things like that. Anyway, I didn't see it. I'm going to have to watch it. Tim said it was pretty interesting. And of course, you know, those things are disappearing as soon as they're, you know,
as
soon as someone can get their hands on them, they disappear. So I thought that was kind of cool because that's one of the theories. And it's not that humans aren't smart enough to figure it out. Of course, humans are smart enough to figure stuff out and we, you know, do things and then we lose, you know, the technology or we, you know, because through just not doing it or people die out or whatever, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But maybe they got help, you know, too, you know, and maybe these things were supposed to be here because we're under some kind of directive from another place of how far we should be along at certain times and whatever. I don't know. Just throwing things out there. But anyway, yeah, cool. Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? I think I might have to get that book and just read it because, and I, like I said, there are other references in the Bible, although they're more veiled. You know, I think you have to dig maybe a little bit deeper. This one seems to be quite out there, you know? So, yeah, I thought it was very interesting. And, you know, that's all kinds of what we talk about. So I thought I would bring it to the table tonight.
Yeah, it is interesting. There's quite a few comments in the chat room around that.
Mm-hmm.
There, let's see here. Joe said you should check out the Book of Enoch stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. Do they talk about it in there too?
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They talk about a lot of things in the Book of Enoch. I have not read that, but I've also heard they talk a lot about the Nephilim, which, you know, people really talk a lot about the Nephilim too. So.
Yeah, Mike in the chat room said he threw away Chariots of the Gods when the Mayan prediction of the alien return didn't happen in 2012. I'm going to say, Mike, how do you know it didn't happen?
Well, that's
because true. Here's the deal. I think they're already here. And what if more came? It's just they didn't stand out like little green men, so mm-hmm. we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
there could have been more that came in 2012. Yeah. It's just they didn't make a big announcement because they didn't want to, need to, weren't supposed to.
Right.
Or they did and nobody believed it. I mean, who knows? Whatever, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I'm wondering. It's quite interesting, you know, and then of course there's all the conspiracy theories about what happened down in New Mexico, down in Roswell, you know, and they say that they actually have alien bodies somewhere and that an alien craft crashed there. I mean, who knows? Maybe that's also in the Smithsonian, as Kat says. Yeah, interesting. It is interesting stuff. It's like all the other things that we don't know about, right? But I do think the government has a lot of information that we don't know. You know, they're not letting out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting, you know, thinking of, and I'm thinking now, you know, of just aliens in general being here. And Kat said in the chat room, she goes, why are they hiding? Certainly they're more technologically advanced and have no fear of us. Why are they hiding? Well, I mean, are they hiding? I don't know. And I think there are some here that look like humans. I think there's also some here that don't look like humans. But, you know, why would they hide? Well, there's probably a ton of good reasons. I mean, are we not ready to believe in this stuff yet? I mean, a lot of people might flip their lid.
Yes.
You know, if they found out that there were aliens already here. And I do think that a lot of aliens that visit, they come and go. I don't think they're bad, you know, because really, if they were, we'd already be toast by now, I would imagine. Right.
They're not like in Independence Day, for example. Right. They just want to suck out.
I think they're already here and they're here for a whole bunch of reasons. And I don't think all of them are good, but I also think that there's reasons that it doesn't suit, it's not in their best interest to destroy this, what we've got going. So, anyway.
Yeah. And like Dave said, maybe they're not here to communicate with us. Maybe they're not hiding. They're just not here to, you know, chat.
They're here to do their own thing. Maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Who knows? Who knows? I don't know. That's why it's fun to guess and throw out all sorts of ideas like this, because we don't know. We can guess and
we don't
speculate.
I know. And, you know, Dave always talks about, too, how, you know, the Native Americans have always said that our continent, they've always called our continent a turtle. How would they know it looks like a turtle unless someone from up in outer space or up high, like a plane, told them this, you know? And they've talked about it for centuries and centuries, you know? Mm-hmm. So they call it Turtle Island. So, you know, it's quite interesting, actually.
Yeah, it makes you think, and it kind of makes your head spin a little bit if you go too deep with it, because, I mean, it's cool to think about it. What is that one? Unacknowledged, that's it. If you guys haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's Dr. Stephen Greer. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, it's good. Oh. It's good. He has a couple of documentaries.
TV?
Where did I see it? It was either Netflix or Amazon Prime. And it's free on one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I did not pay for it. So I had to have found it free on one of them somehow. But anyway, I didn't pay for it. I'm paying for the services, so there's that. But anyway, it's interesting, and you should definitely watch it. It's he has a couple of good documentaries out, and that's one of his more current ones, I believe. Anyway, it's really interesting talking about all these beings that are here to visit us, and like really good beings, you know, there's a lot of good out there, just like humans, you know, there's a lot of good humans out there. We don't always hear about them because news, you know, overloads us with all the bad stuff out there, but there's so many good humans and there's so many other good things. And, that just doesn't get, you know, the attention, or it doesn't need attention, you know, good aliens, right? I don't know. But anyway, if you haven't seen it, whoever out there too, if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's kind of interesting. Makes you think anyway.
Yeah. So I guess you can watch it on Tubi for free. I know Tubi is one of the things you get for free with the Roku stick. So.
Oh yeah. Got it. Yeah. Wherever you can find it, check it out. It's cool. It makes you think about neat things.
Absolutely.
And he's an interesting dude. I like listening to him. He's very credible. He's very smart, and expert, I would say, yeah, in many fields. But anyway, he's, yeah, it's cool watching his documentaries. So I would check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And what is it called? Let's say that again.
Unacknowledged.
Unacknowledged. Yeah, that's what it was. Okay. I'm writing it down so I don't forget. Okay.
It's Unacknowledged.
Okay. Yeah. Name of show. I had to step out. Unacknowledged. Yeah. Good. Thanks, Heidi. Yeah, Dave is saying ancestors saw it when we first came here. So the Native Americans truly believe they came from somewhere else, which is quite, you know, amazing.
Yes, Mike in the chat room, Unacknowledged by Stephen Greer. Yes, that's the one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty much everywhere, I think, that you can get it. Whether you pay for it or not, I don't know. I can't help you out. But there's that. So anyway, yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Sounds fabulous. Yeah, I just got a Roku stick recently. There's kind of a lot of stuff on there. It's kind of fun, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, Tim on his TV has all sorts of crazy stuff that like came with the TV. And oh gosh, there's all sorts of stuff there. And he finds all sorts of crazy stuff, which is, I don't know how his TV gets all this. It was just built into it. I don't know. I don't understand it. But yeah, so that's where he was seeing that alien show. Yeah. Or that with the mummies, and so I'm gonna have to check that out.
That's cool. Yeah,
no, but yeah, aliens fascinate me. I'm gonna do more work with that this summer, outside on the property. I want to see if we can get some of the visitors, the star beings, to come here and hang out and share their wisdom.
You know, they do say people who say they've been visited by them their whole lives, they do tend to visit the same people all the time, and multi-generations of the same family, from what I understand. So, I don't know.
It depends on who's visiting.
Yeah. If the apps are built in, but I think you still pay for it all. No, not some of it, though. Most of it on Roku. There are some things you can pay for, but a lot of them are free. They come with the Roku stick.
Yeah.
Dave says we need to interview George. George. Who?
Who are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Mike was saying he's always amazed by the Nazca lines in Peru. Yeah, me too. I mean, that's what I took away from that whole Chariots of the Gods book, because it's amazing. It's amazing what they've built down there, you know? So
yeah, cool. If you haven't, I've seen a show on it. I can't remember what show it was. It was a while back on the Nazca lines. And it is really fascinating. Even just, you guys can look it up online and see some of these images that, I mean, they're created, what, between 500 BC and 500, AD? What? I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. And they're depressions or shallow incisions in the desert floor, removing pebbles and leaving differently colored dirt exposed. Just doing a quick Google here just to describe it, but it's cool looking because these pictures are amazing and they're huge. It's kind of like early crop circles. I don't know how long crop circles have been around, so let's just say that it's like crop circles, where you see it from the air and you think, wow, that's really impressive. Who made that? And how did they do it so perfectly? But again, there's technology for this kind of stuff. And it's not like early humans were idiots. They certainly weren't. So they could figure that stuff out. But maybe it wasn't just humans doing it.
Right. Right. Well, it's one of the unknowns, right? The unknowns. There's so much unknown. We just don't know hardly anything about it. George Jorge. Yes. Dave, we do need to get George Jorge. Yes. We need to get him on the show. I know who you're talking about. He's friends with Horace and he's in that whole bunch. I've never met him, seen him a few times, but Jorge, he talks a lot about UFOs and stuff too, but he's a tremendous healer as well. Karen is saying she saw a guy doing snow circles with a stick and snowshoes.
They were big. Yeah, those things can be made by humans for sure. Crop circles and all that. But you just wonder the possibilities of they're not, if they're not made by humans, could they not be made by humans? Maybe sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. It's on. I'm trying to read the chat room at the same time, so.
Yeah, the chat room is starting to go.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's starting again, to light up. Awesome.
Which is what is so fun. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is cool. So who knows if those crop circles are made by humans or something else. I mean, we just don't know. Dave is saying first there were crop lines, then triangles, and then they eventually evolved into circles.
I suppose you need something else. You get bored doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to challenge yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's all interesting. You know what? It's already been 30 minutes.
Oh, so yeah, we got
to
go.
We need to go to commercial break. So this is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network.
Para X Radio. Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction. We are ready to scare you.
Para X.
Demons. Vampires. Werewolves. Skinwalkers. All of this and more. Sunday nights at midnight. On the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Schott, psychic medium, Dark NOLA Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network, and we have our paranormal smorgasbord tonight and have all sorts of topics already, which has been loads of fun. And we're talking about the Nazca Lines in Peru. That was our latest topic. I should say. And I want to talk about something. I don't know. We're talking a lot about TV tonight. We've all watched a lot of TV probably this winter and since the COVID began. But I don't know if anybody saw, it was on Netflix for sure. I don't know if it was anywhere else, that documentary. Well, it was kind of a documentary on the Cecil Hotel and that gal that disappeared and they found her. She was dead. Did you hear about that? I'm sure you did. They had footage of the elevator that she was in. They had footage and it looked really disturbing and that she was, they thought something had happened to her. A lot of people speculated it was paranormal. And so I ended up watching the documentary on it because I was curious because I didn't know any resolution other than I found out that she had died. And this was a while back too. I can't remember when this happened, but anyway, it was kind of sad, although the documentary itself was kind of maddening. If anybody watched it, you'll maybe agree. I don't know. But they have all of these people on social media that had chimed in on trying to figure out what happened. So they're all contributing to this documentary. And it takes you down like 50 rabbit holes before you get to the end of this documentary. And you start getting confused as to like what actually happened. Mm-hmm. Because all these people have all these theories and conspiracies and whatever. And it was kind of maddening after a while, but I finished it. I watched it anyway. But it was interesting to find out what actually happened, because I guess I had heard about it, and all I had ever seen was the video of her in the elevator, and I assumed, too, that it was paranormal because I never followed up on anything else. And anyway, so it was an interesting documentary. Did you see it? You didn't see it. You're looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about. No. Okay. yeah. Sherry said the water tank girl. Well, unfortunately, yeah, that's where she ended up, in the hotel water tank. And they found her. The reason they found her is because people were saying that the water smelled horrible and tasted horrible.
Oh.
Yeah. Gross. She was in there for, what, a week, 2 weeks before they found her?
What hotel was this at?
Cecil Hotel in California.
Oh.
It's kind of in a kind of rundown part of the town, I guess. L.A., out in L.A. Anyway, yeah, it was sad. You know, she ended up in the water holding tank on the roof.
Oh.
And that, I imagine, does some pretty unpleasant things to the water that people showered in and drank and brushed their teeth with. Oh. Yeah, that was sad. Anyway, but the whole thing I was assuming as I was watching it is that there was something either paranormal or criminal that happened. And if you didn't watch it, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to talk about it. So here it is. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert. But anyway, I just, because I had only seen the video footage of the elevator. That was it. Over the years, right? That's all I've ever seen. And I'm like, oh, right. It's paranormal. And then watching the whole thing, it's like, well, no, she was ill. She had mental illness and had been diagnosed, I believe, with a schizophrenia or something. Anyway, she was sick and it looked like she did it herself. There was no foul play. There was nobody else involved. Some miscommunications on the police part, you know, what they said, you know, evidence-wise was left, and so it kind of sent them on a different track. But eventually they figured it out, and they realized it was, she did that herself. So she might have been having an episode or something when she was in the elevator. I don't know how that works, but it looked paranormal when you see just the clips that the police released, because I think the hotel gave the police all the footage, and then the police or someone in the police force released some to the public to try and find out, like, hey, we're trying to find out what happened. Here's some video footage of her, you know, and so they released some of it. And mm-hmm. there was all these conspiracy theories, you know, the tape was manipulated, all this stuff. So someone's trying to cover something up. And anyway, it was interesting, though, to watch, because then you get the whole story. But going down 50 rabbit holes but to get to the end made me a little nuts. But it was a good show, I mean, overall.
I've never heard of that before, so that's a new one for me. So they're saying she was in a locked tank in a locked fence area on the roof. So how did she get there?
It wasn't locked. The tank wasn't locked, and you could get on the roof by the fire escape.
Oh.
There's a door to get up there if you go up the stairs, but it would usually trigger an alarm or a light or something down in the front desk, mm-hmm. but you can also get to the roof from the fire escape. And they believe that's how she got up there, because there was no alarm or any kind of light triggered at the front desk. And there should be locks on the water tanks, but there were no locks on the water tanks. And the cops ended up the maintenance person went to check the water tanks because the water was having the issues. And so he went up and the lid was off the water tank. It's a hatch at the top. So if you go in, you're not coming out without help, unless the thing is really full. If the tank is really full of water, you could probably tread water and grab the top and, mm-hmm. you know, somehow get out that way. But if the water is halfway down or lower, you're not getting out of there without help. So anyway, mm-hmm. the lid was off, which would explain if she went in, she can't close the lid after her because you're already down there. So anyway, how they found her. Anyway, so that was, it was sad. It was sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yuck. Mike is saying, welcome to the Hotel California.
Yeah. that was where the it sounded like a really, it's a pretty nasty hotel, I think. I mean, from the way they made it sound, I haven't been there, I can't, but there's been some shady stuff happening there from what I could see on this documentary. And they even had the Night Stalker.
Oh.
That he stayed there for a while. Holy cow, he was a bad dude. Anyway, so this, yeah, it was an interesting documentary.
How long ago did that happen?
Let's see here. I'll have to look. I can't remember exactly when it happened.
Well, because Karen is asking, does she haunt the place? I mean, has anybody seen her in the, you know, ghost form, spiritual form since that happened?
I think it was 2013.
So it's been, you know, 8 years ago.
I don't know. I think, didn't Ghost Adventures just went there investigate? Mm-hmm. Mm. I didn't see that episode yet. I've been painting cabinets. I don't watch anything right now. Yeah. But I didn't see that episode that they were going to investigate there. But who knows? She might. I mean, that would be sad if she did. I'd want, you know, to find out if she needed help getting out of there, if she was right. Still there. Or whoever was there, because I sounded like a lot of people died there. Mm-hmm. Drug overdose and stuff like that, too. For so, sure. Yeah. And just the area itself is pretty, it's pretty tough. A lot of homeless and stuff, too. So I would imagine that there's a lot of energy there that people need help.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Oh, well, interesting stuff. Yeah, you know, there's just so much out there to watch on TV. I don't have time to watch TV. I watch maybe an hour a day, if that, you know, and I kind of have to get stuff that I have to watch. So, yeah, I don't know. Jerry says, according to Zach Bagans, it's haunted by her. Of course, because that's what Zach would say. Jerry says, Zach and Pack are not reliable. Karen is saying, Zach is certifiable himself.
Oh.
Well, I guess we all think the same of that man.
Well, I've heard he's nice in person.
Well, like,
I don't always approve of his style when he's investigating. Not that that matters, but I don't do what he does. But I've heard he's nice.
Well, you know, he's been at Paracon, though, and he never...
Well, I know. I've met him, but...
Yeah, I have, too, and he just kind of shies away, right? And the other ones on that show are super, you know? I can't think of their names now. The bald guy, what's his name? He's fun.
Aaron.
I haven't watched that show forever, so I can't remember their names anymore. But
I've heard just from people who have had... Well, he went up to the Palmer House and did a thing up there, and they were saying he's very nice up there. He was at the Axe Murder House in Iowa, and they said he's very nice there. So I've heard from people who worked with him for a while, not just meeting him at a Paracon. I would imagine going to a Paracon and you have a million screaming people wanting to meet you, that might be a little overwhelming as well. But from what I've heard, where you have some time with him, that he's very nice and very respectful. So,
well, I mean, he was nice to me, but he did. I did see him visibly kind of shrink when he sat, and it wasn't like in the main hall. It was, we were off in an alcove. What is the name of that guy that's with him? That's going to drive me crazy. Aaron. Yeah, he's fun. He's fun.
He's nice.
Cool guy. But yeah, no, I know some people really don't like him. I think he looks to me like he's got a lot of attachments and a lot of stuff going on. You can just see it in his eyes. But I don't necessarily think he's a bad guy, you know? So anyway, we'll leave it at that.
Let's leave that at that.
we'll leave that at that. Yeah. Because even Karin is saying he's, you know, a lot of fun to talk to. They're still talking about that. So is there anything new in the paranormal world? I guess I haven't watched a paranormal show for so long. I can't even tell you what's out there anymore.
No, I haven't watched. I don't watch paranormal shows either. Cause I just, I don't.
Cause we do it, you know, it's like, oh, come on, you know,
Karin said, let's get back to UFOs.
Yeah. You know, we should get some guests on that have experience with UFOs. So that will be something. I'm going to write that down.
I want to be one of those one day, the people that know about UFOs.
Yeah.
That have had personal experiences.
Yeah. That's my goal. Karen, I keep thinking when you're talking about UFOs of that man up north, and I won't say his name, but he visited us at a Squatch chat, and you know, he's seen Bigfoot and whatever, but he also claims that he and some of his family members were taken up repeatedly by aliens and UFOs. And his story, in many instances, is much the same as Jean Walker's was when we had her. And they don't know each other. I mean, they're, you know, miles and miles apart. But he has told some stories that are, wow, he'd be a good one to have on the show, actually. I wonder if I could get him to come on. I'll have to think about that. But that would be fun, yeah, because the stories are so, they're so similar, and they've seen something, they've had some kind of experience, I'm not sure what, but the stories are very similar, you know, and he claims that he was brought up several times, and this was way up on the borderland, and you know, we hear about these UFO encounters and sightings all the time up in that area, the Bemidji area, the whole borderland area, and you know, last summer when we were up, we were near Bemidji about 30 miles away. And we were at a nighttime investigation and we were looking up at the sky because it was a beautiful sky and stars everywhere, clear. I was trying to get the camera to work, so I wasn't really looking. But Josie and Katie both saw what they think were UFOs and they were just streaking back and forth across the sky. And then Josie said she saw what appeared to be like a grid, like they were making a grid on the sky.
Oh, cool.
Which is, it is something that they're talking about now. Very interesting. So we'll have to get back up there again and look and see if we see that same thing. Because it's in an area where there's just all kinds of weird stuff. You know, like Dogman's been seen there. Sasquatch has been seen there. You know, we saw these things that looked like UFOs up in the sky. I mean, and it's in the area where we hear all these stories. So you just never know. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, interesting. You know, we'll put this question out there for a little bit of time we have left, but Karen actually put it out in the chat room saying, hey, anybody in the chat room, if you had a UFO experience, personal experience. Mm-hmm. So if you have, go ahead and type away in the chat room and we'll read it. You know, I had, when you're talking about that, it makes me think of one of the times I was in North Carolina in the mountains. And it was the second time I was there for a week. And I had met I met a ton of great people. And there was a specific group of people that kept asking me about Bigfoot because, you know, doing the Bigfoot research stuff. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, do you think Bigfoot is in the mountains here? And I said, probably. Mm-hmm. And one of the facilitators, one people that worked there, told me that going up and down the mountain at night had seen something really big go across these. They're just gravel roads going up the mountains. It's nothing official for some of it. And saw this big like shape go across the road. And it was really dark. And so you could only see just this blur of, you know, whatever going across the road, and told me about it because I said, you know, you should go in that area and see if you can find anything. And I'm like, all right. So there was a couple of gals that thought, you know, hey, let's go do it on one of the nights that we have free. Let's go walk around and see if we can find something. Heidi, will you show us? I'm like, show you how to look for Bigfoot? Sure. It's called Walk Around the Woods. And
yeah, exactly,
let's do it.
Right?
So I did it. We went out. I grabbed some flashlights. You know, we grabbed flashlights and started walking around. And it was so weird because we didn't see Bigfoot. We didn't see anything like that. But we kept seeing these weird orbs of light in the woods, in the trees, you know. And then up in the sky, we'd see, I don't know, it looked like a star at first, but then it moved in weird directions. And it wasn't just a satellite going across the sky and it wasn't a plane. It was moving in like at different angles, back and forth and up this way and over that way. And it was bizarre. It was totally cool. So we went out looking for Bigfoot and we saw something else. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But some of them were down in the trees with us. They were glowing like different colors. And
you know, we've seen that when Bigfoot's been around, though, too.
Yeah, down in our research area.
Yeah, so, you know, who knows with that? Because we always say that some researchers say that he's found a way to travel by moving his energy through like these orbs. Who knows? We don't know. But interesting. So we asked if people have seen UFOs, and wow, it's really lighting up now. We only have 10 minutes left. But, you know, Jerry is talking about when he was 7 and later at 12, again, up in northern Minnesota, north of Bemidji. Yeah. Karen is saying...
Kind of scary as a kid.
Huh. Yeah, and Karen is saying when she was about 8 with her grandparents in the country. Wow. Interested to know, is that up north too, Karen?
Sherry saw 2 UFOs drifting in the sky a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Were they just lights or did they have some kind of shape? I'm curious, Sherry. Cindy said she's had a small, I've heard this story too. It's crazy. It's so cool. She said she had a small orb / mechanical circle, some kind of mechanical something, circle her house several times and come to her as she came out of the garage. She has a detached garage, right? Mm-hmm. So she was going from, I think, her garage to the house. Her neighbor saw it and totally freaked out. He said it was circling her house before she got home. And it was still there when she got home. And then she's coming out of her garage and she sees it. And it's like coming at her. But she said it was like this weird glowing mechanical orb.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't have... when she told it to me, it wasn't like a drone or anything like that that had substance to it. It was like emitting its own light. The mm-hmm. whole thing was a ball mm-hmm. of light. Anyway, it was cool. And it happened, 2 days in a row, I think, or back to back, I think, a couple of times, and then it hasn't come back since.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Okay, let's see here.
Maybe we have to have a UFO, a whole hour devoted to UFOs.
We'll get another UFO show, yeah. We haven't done one for a while. We should mm-hmm. do this, where everybody can share their experiences. Mm-hmm. Then we can go deeper into detail. Mm-hmm. Mike said, I've seen a lot of weird lights growing up in central Arizona. Some my dad blamed on, Edwards Air Force Base, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know they talk about UFOs a lot on The Calling. We've talked about it a few times, but never mm-hmm. really like a whole show, you know? But it always is a hot topic here in the Paranormal Smorgasbord. So I think maybe we need to dedicate a show in the next month or two about this. And maybe we can get somebody on with, you know, like Dave, or like this guy up north, or Gene Walker, or somebody like that. I think that would be phenomenal. So, yeah. So stay tuned, everybody. Maybe we'll get that.
Yeah, that's cool. Oh, Sherry followed up. She said... When the things that she saw last week, she said there were red and white lighted dots just dancing around a set point. And the spot that they were dancing around, it looks like, drifted across the sky. Interesting. Mm. Mm. And you kind of have to wonder what stuff is UFO. And, mm-hmm. well, anything could be a UFO, even if it's our own thing, because it's unidentified. Right. We don't know what it is, but someone might know what it is. Like the Air Force Base.
Well, of course, you know, anything that's not known, it doesn't have to be aliens. It can be just something that we don't know what the heck it is, you know.
Or we made it and it's top secret.
That's right. That's right. That too, you know. Because a lot of times they try to link Sasquatch with UFOs. I don't mm-hmm. think it has anything to do with aliens, or I should say aliens and extraterrestrials.
I do.
I know you do. I don't believe that. I believe Bigfoot is interdimensional, and maybe UFOs are too. You know, people say that, but I don't think he has anything to do with those aliens, you know?
I think so, because I did, okay, here, I've told you this, I've told it on the show, I did not think so until I had that UFO case. And when I had that UFO case, I promise you, multiple people in the place where we were living saw what looked like some kind of Bigfoot hanging around our house, not just hanging around, but zooming around. You know, mm-hmm. zipping by. And it can't be a coincidence, because I don't believe in coincidence. So why is it? And that happened from the first phone call. The first phone call with this person, and then I start seeing this, and other people in the house start seeing it. Can't be a coincidence. That's the only reason I think so. I didn't really have an opinion one way or another before that. But since then, I think that there's something to it.
Well... like everything else in the paranormal field, we just don't know for sure. And we may
don't
never
know for sure.
And we may never know. yeah. Navy official publicly called these mysterious objects as unidentified aerial phenomena, UAPs.
That's
cool. Up near Sedona, I guess they're talking about. Yeah, it's just
Have you been there?
No, I've never been to Arizona.
Yeah, it's cool. Sedona. I like a lot of places in Arizona, but outside of the cities. The cities are okay, but outside of the cities are better. Mm-hmm. Sorry if anybody lives in a city. I'm not saying your city's bad. I just like their nature is cool there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Mike is saying the $6 Million Man show had an episode of Bigfoot who was a helper to the alien, Helen Hunt.
Oh, wow.
Showing. That was a few years ago. I used to watch that show, but I don't remember that one.
I don't remember that at all.
Uh-uh.
Cool. Let's check it out.
Yeah. I mean, all those old shows are good anyway, right? Bigfoot and Wild Boy. So let's just take a minute here to do a little plug for our sibling show, The Calling Radio Show, which is tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And tomorrow, they are looking into demonic or spiritual forces in history. I think it'll kind of be a good one. The ad is kind of wild, kind of dark. So listen in to Jerry and the girls tomorrow night. I think it'll be a good one.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, we're almost done with our show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Flies by.
I know, always.
Tremendous Tuesday, tune in Tuesday.
Yes, tremendous.
For the Paranormal Smorgasbord.
Always flies, yeah, absolutely.
So next week, right, we're going to talk about Ouija boards.
Ouija boards, yes.
Yeah, we're going to go a little bit more in depth into some of the history around Ouija boards. And so that'll be kind of fun. And any updates if we have anything for our own experiences. I have something funny I'll talk about that I could have talked about tonight, but I figure we're going to talk about Ouija boards next week, so save it.
So we'll do that.
For next week.
And so those of you in the chat room, tune in next week too. And if you have any wild and woolly experiences with that tool, type them in. We'd love to talk about them because, we sure had the Ouija board around my house when I was growing up.
I think everybody did something.
Well, yeah, and my mom and my aunt, they used to do it all the time, and I told them crazy things that were actually came true, So I don't know. It's kind of wild when you think about it.
Well, and Dave in the chat room said they didn't always have the ominous reputation they do now. Didn't that start with The Exorcist, the movie?
Yeah, probably did.
1972? Yeah. I think is what they said kicked off the really demonic impression of using a Ouija board, where before that it was just kind of laughed off as a fun game and whatever. I mean, some people took it seriously, but it wasn't associated with something that was really dark or scary,
right?
Until I think the that movie came out.
Right. Jerry's saying that his mom forbid one in their house. Well, your mom was psychic. My mom and that family, they were all intuitive, so they used it, and the things that it told were absolutely true, So, quite interesting, actually, I think. But
we didn't have one.
If they're a portal. So, if you're going to use one, you better know how to shut it down and get them things out of there, So.
Yeah. We didn't have one, but I made one. I drew one on a piece of paper.
Did you?
Yeah. And then I did it again when I was in my early 20s. I think I had a friend come over and we did it. She was like, let's do that. I'm like, sure. And I drew one out on a piece of paper because I didn't have one still. Mm-hmm. But that works too. It works just fine. It's your intention.
Yes, that's the main, it is true. I mean, it's a tool like the other ones. Yeah. So anyway, it'll be an interesting show. So bring your stories. I think we need to wrap it up.
Yep. Time.
So... everyone, thank you for listening. And if we have any troops listening, I know that they've been busy and kind of offline lately. But if you are, thank you for listening and be safe. Thank you for your service.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And our chat room, you guys have been awesome again tonight, for sure, as always. And any listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. And ParaX, thank you for hosting us once again. We love being here. And our most amazing producer on the planet, Sarge, thank you for all that you do for us. And it was a fun night, and looking forward to next week.
Yeah. Good night, everyone. See you next week.
Have a good week.